I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Le Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Everybody, welcome back into Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood and Jake Thomas. I see there's people already in the chat. Sorry, we're running a few minutes behind. That is completely my fault, but we're here now. And looking forward to tonight's show as we kind of preview fall camp. It's going to get started here in just a few days for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. Jake, it's Monday. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Excited to be here. To have a good long talk with not only you, Stacey, but our fans as well. I'm sure everybody's got a lot to say. So go ahead and get in that chat, light it up. We're going to talk about position battles we see going on through camp. So tell us your position battles you have your eyes on. I know the number one is going to be quarterback, but there's a lot of positions out there that we can talk about that's potentially up for grabs. So I'm excited to get this show going.
Yeah, and aside from just the position battles, we're just going to be looking at each kind of position group as a whole and, you know, kind of what we expect from that group during fall camp and then, you know, into the 2023 season. And, you know, we had a show premiere this morning discussing the offensive line and kind of what we were expecting from the offensive line this season and in fall camp. And so, you know, if you want to talk offensive line, quarterbacks, running backs, just whatever you want to talk there in the chat, please hit us up there and we will do our best to get that on air and then kind of give our thoughts and opinions on those positions. As we let people kind of get into the show, if you're not already, please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button, help this video get 100 likes before the night is out. You know, we're also free and available on all our podcast platforms as well. So if you want to catch us in podcast form, you can do that, but this is a YouTube live and we don't get to do a lot of these. Our plan moving forward is to do more of these, Jake, is especially as the season gets here and, you know, maybe on Saturday mornings we can get together and do a live show, kind of giving our final thoughts before that matchup of the day. You know, maybe do a live stream for, you know, maybe even if it's just a half of every game, and just for people to kind of get in there and chat with each other about what's happening in each of the contests. So those are just some ideas we have moving forward with the show and with our live shows. Bama Standard is in the building. What's up? The Bama Standard, one of the best Alabama football podcasts out there. So make sure you are subscribed to their channel over there at the Bama Standard. Justin and crew do a great job there. We were actually on their show last week, so enjoyed that, and it was a lot of fun over there. So make sure you are subscribed to those guys. Jake, as we have people just you know, coming to the show, and like we mentioned, obviously the chat is going to be a crucial part of our of tonight's show. So make sure that the chat is jumping and everybody's commenting and letting us know their thoughts and opinions on the team as we get ready for the 2023 season. And, you know, fall camp, just, you know, they'll be reporting later this week. So a lot to look forward to. Football is back. You know, it's been a long off season, but football's now back. And like I said, they'll begin practice later this week. Jake, if you had to kind of a off the wall question, if you had to pick one, we'll exclude the quarterbacks. If you had to pick one position that maybe excites you the most to kind of watch as fall camp gets underway, what position would that be?
To me, it's on the offensive side of the ball, and that's running backs, man. I mean, we already know what Jace McClellan can do. He is an absolute treasure, and he's very, very quick and very shifty. But then you have Justice Haynes coming in, and, you know, we've talked about it before. It's, you know, Jace is overall the number one guy because, I mean, he's earned it. Being there, and he is a veteran leader of that group, but it's going to be hard to keep Justice Haynes off the field. And then another true freshman coming in, Richard Young, man. I mean, my gosh. I mean, and then you got Jam Miller there as well. So, I mean, this running back room, until we get the quarterback situation figured out, and we talked about the offensive line, you know, in our premiere show that we did yesterday, premiere this morning, but if the offensive line lives up to their expectation and be that nasty physical offensive line that we talked about, this running attack is going to do wonders, helping that new quarterback step in and get adjusted to the game speed. So the running backs I'm excited about, because there's a lot of talent there, and it's very, very deep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that position group could really be the difference. And, you know, how well this team performs here in 2023. It's deep, it's talented, both with some veteran players and who are experienced, and then some young guys who appear to be, you know, among the next elite prospects, you know, on the team. So excited to kind of see what that running back room can do. And I think, like you said, Jake, with the mix of talent in that room and the stable of backs they have, I don't know how the heck they're going to feature all those guys, or exactly how Tommy Reese and, you know, Robert Gillespie, the running back coach, are going to kind of work those guys into the rotation. That's something to look forward to. And, you know, I guess we can kind of keep it there at the running backs right now, Jake. And, you know, you mentioned Jace McClellan, and you mentioned Justice Haynes, and obviously Jam Miller, Richard Young, Rodale Williams. You know, there's so many guys there. You know, I think Jace is a player who probably isn't appreciated enough, you know, even not only from a national level, but I think even within the Alabama fan base. I think there's people who are just so excited about the new guy in Justice Haynes, and that they've kind of forgotten about Jace McClellan. But, you know, this is a guy who has multiple 80-yard touchdown runs in his career. Mm-hmm. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. He proved to be you know, instrumental to the success of the offense in the latter half of the season last year when Jahmyr Gibbs was battling some injuries. So Jace McClellan is a guy who is more than capable of carrying load for your team. But the fact that you have young pups behind him like Justice Haynes and Jam Miller just makes it, you know, just makes it that much better for that running back run.
Man, yeah, this is one of the most talented and deepest running back room that we've had in a while at Alabama. And, you know, I know early on we've had two or three deep, but I mean, you can go four or five deep with this group. So, you know, and, you know, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how Tommy Reese and Robert Gillespie gets these guys on the field and how they feature them. But that is, I would say, a good problem to have. You know, so I'm excited to see how it all shapes up. And I do feel like Jace will probably be the featured back starting out, but Justice Haynes is going to get his as well. So,
yeah, the Bama Center says no one needs to sleep on Jace. He's finally healthy again. Jace will be one of the leaders in the SEC in rushing. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think, you know, he's finally – I don't know that we've seen – an experienced Jace McClellan that is 100% healthy yet. Obviously, he showed flashes as a freshman and as a sophomore up until his knee injury there against Florida in 2021 that he suffered that knee injury. So,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't – I doubt he was a 100% last year, you know, entering the 2022 season. So now that he's probably 100% healthy right now, he's got a ton of experience in the SEC. The we have not seen the best of Jace McClellan yet, and I think we're going to see that this year. And you know, you get to spell him with guys like Justice Haynes, Rodell Williams, and Jam Miller, and maybe even a Richard Young. I feel sorry for these defenses trying to slow down this rushing attack for four quarters.
Yeah, I do really feel like this is going to go back in time to the Alabama of old and just run it down people's throats until you stop them. And you know, as long as you keep the guys rotated out, they're going to be fresh heading into the fourth quarter. So I just don't know how they're going to slow down throughout the whole game, because, you know, it's deep, like we said, and you can switch them out at every other possession, it seems like, and be fine.
All right. Wyatt Hastings says, I'm curious about the star position. You know, that's a great point, Wyatt. Thank you for commenting. And, excuse me, you know, Earl Little Jr. got most of the reps there this spring at star, you know, with Caleb Downs and Malachi Moore manning the safety positions. I think it's possible we might could see Malachi there at star, but I think long-term Earl Little is probably the answer there this season. And I'm excited to see what Earl Little can do. You know, it's much like how Elijah Pritchett as a redshirt freshman just started the spring as the left tackle for Alabama, and Earl Little Jr. as a redshirt freshman started the spring as at star for Alabama. So I think that proves the coaching staff has a lot of faith in them. They have a lot of trust in those guys. So while I think it's not for certain that Earl Little is the star, that's who I would put my money on right now, you know, without seeing fall camp. But heading into fall camp, I would say that Earl Little the second is the starter at star.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Stacy. You know, he showed out in A Day. He had a really great A Day game. He had an interception on a perfectly passed, you know, ball by Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson threw it to where either it was going to be a touchdown or it was going to be intercepted. And I mean, Earl Little just made a perfect play on the ball, and you know, it kind of got me excited, because you know, we talked about the knots. You know, this defense hasn't really had any knots the last couple of seasons to get the offense on track. So if we have some guys, and I feel like we finally got the playmakers back there that can get those non-offensive touchdowns and force turnovers to help the offense out, especially early on in the season.
Yeah, and those not offensive touchdowns or just turnovers in general will be critical for Alabama this year. You know, that, like you mentioned, especially last season, I don't remember that few of forced turnovers under a Nick Saban defense in a long time. So getting back to creating turnovers is really critical for this team's success, because like you said, offensively, they're going to be a lot of new faces, a new quarterback. And so the defense is going to have to carry that heavy load probably for the first few weeks of the season. And if they can create some of those turnovers and not offensive touchdowns, you know, that's just going to go a long way into helping Alabama be successful on the field as a team. And, you know, what that star position can produce, that goes a long way in what your secondary and your defense does in forcing turnovers, because, you know, a lot of times they're going to be matched up on a, you know, a playmaker for that offense, because they're not really going to want to test Kool-Aid. They're not going to want to test Terrion Arnold or Trey Amos as much. So Earl Little's probably going to get a lot of looks, especially early in the season as a redshirt freshman there in that secondary. So if he can come out and play well, that bodes well for the Alabama defense.
Man, yeah, it's, you know, the thing about the secondary, we have leadership back there, and we have some very, very talented players. But we're going to have, we'll potentially have two starting. You got a true freshman starting, Kyler Downs, potentially, and then you have a redshirt freshman as well. So there's young talent there, but there's also veteran leadership that I think is going to intertwine, and it's going to make this defense, and especially the secondary, just outstanding this year.
Yeah, we've really bragged on the secondary or been high on the secondary all throughout the offseason. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with guys like, I think Malachi Moore is probably finally healthy. I think he's more comfortable now than what he's probably been since his freshman year at Alabama. And, you know, we talked about Earl Little Jr. just a second ago. Obviously, Kool-Aid McKinstry is, you know, probably the best corner in the country. I think whoever starts opposite of him is going to have a really solid year. And then Caleb Downs, the five-star freshman, has everybody excited. So there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to the secondary. And like the Bama standard mentioned, if that defensive line can show up and show out, it makes their job on the back end that much easier. And they will obviously play a pivotal role in the success of the Alabama defense here in 2023. And, you know, I'm hoping Justin Aboibi can revert back to the way he was playing before his neck injury last season, because he was a really our best defensive lineman before his injury. Jaheim Otis really started to come on strong toward the end of the season last year as a true freshman. You know, he's just going to be that much better here in his sophomore season. Tim Smith's a guy who's got a high ceiling. You got James Smith, who's oozing with talent, and you know Monkel Goodwine, Jamarian Latham. There's a lot of guys there that could make plays for Alabama on the defensive front, and I'm looking for guys like Justin Aboibi, like the Bama standard said, and Jaheim Otis to really take that next step, become leaders on that defensive front, and make the life of that secondary that much easier.
Yeah, we talked about the defensive line I think it was a week or two ago, Stacey, and that's what we said. You know, we feel like or Aboibi was having his best season, I felt like, until the injury happened. And if he can come back 100% healthy, Tim Smith, I feel like he can take that next step this season. And like you said, Jaheim Otis, we've been high on him since he stepped foot on campus. And, you know, it kind of took a little while for him to get going. But once he did, man, you know, he's been unstoppable. Like you said, he's taken up, you know, multiple guys. So, you know, if those guys can, you know, we talked about, you don't really hear a lot of the names call on the defensive line, but you get a lot of linebackers and getting talked about having tackles for losses or quarterback sacks. So if the linebackers are getting those, then the defense line is doing its job. And don't look at it as they're not getting a lot of tackles or getting the backfield. If they're taking up space and allowing that, you know, they're taking up two or three men to block them, and allowing a edge rusher to get to the quarterback, then they're doing their job. You're muted, Stace.
The defensive front for Alabama is they're not really going to, unless you have a Quinn and Williams type, they're not going to get a ton of stats. Right. I mean, they're not going to fill up the stat sheet. And so, you, like you mentioned, you want those guys to eat up blocks, not allow the offensive lineman to get to that second level, so your linebackers are free-flowing to make plays in the backfield. And I really think that the improvement of the defensive line will really be the catalyst for this team in 2023.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about how the game is won in the trenches, and it mainly goes towards the offensive line being dominant. But on the defensive side, if your defensive line can contain and not get pushed back, it's gonna be tough for the opposing team to gain yards, especially on the ground and running the ball successfully. So, if Alabama can win the trenches on offensive line and defensive line this year, we're gonna be set up great heading to the meat of the schedule.
Yeah, and I agree with the Bama standard right here completely. I think obviously Pete was a fine coach. He didn't fit at Alabama. He didn't fit the Bama way, the Bama standard. I really feel like under Kevin Steele, it's going to get back to that, you know, throwback old school Nick Saban defense. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I'm a defensive guy. That's what I love to watch. And when those guys are flying around making plays, That is a lot of fun to watch. And all that is predicated on how your defensive line can control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, 100%.
But y'all keep the chat going. This is a lot of fun. I like seeing what y'all are thinking. Thank you, Ben Stander, for always jumping in on these live shows. Wyatt, thank you. Chris Jones, that you asked if it has started yet. I'm assuming you're asking about fall camp. I believe they're going to report on Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
I don't think that's been officially announced yet, but from what I've gathered, that's going to be on Thursday. So it's just right around the corner. Looking forward to that.
I mean, we're August 1st is tomorrow. So, and I think the first game, week zero, is the 28th. So, I mean, we're 27, 28 days away from football. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, I think this past Saturday was 4 weeks away from the first college football game.
Man, bring it on.
And 5 weeks from Alabama. So, yeah. Man, it's right around the corner. And we talked about it. Once SEC Media Days is completed, we got it whipped then, man. It's all downhill from there. And like you said, tomorrow we'll turn over to August. And to me, when August is here, football is here. So excited about that. Jake, let's go back offensively, Jake. We talked about how deep Alabama is at running back and how we think that can really be a position of strength for Alabama on offense. And let's talk about the receivers, Jake, the other skill position. While I think the talent is there, nobody has really grabbed the bull by the horn to be that wide receiver one. Nobody's really become that dude. That's the best way I can put it. You know, a couple years ago, there was no question that John Metchie and J-Mo were the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the impact of what losing those guys was once, you know, you lose Metchie, you know, against Georgia in the SEC championship game, then you lose J-Mo early in the national championship game. And, you know, that really hurt Alabama's chances of winning a national championship. And I think it's fair to say that with those two guys that they probably win it. And you got to remember also, Jake, in that game, Jace McClellan was not available. He was out. The only healthy true running back we had was Brian Robinson. He had a banged up leg. Trey Sanders has been banged up since he arrived at Alabama. Those were the only two guys. So it was just a very limited skill. Alabama was very limited at the skill positions in that game. And that's not an excuse. It's just a fact. And, I think when you don't have guys that you can rely on at wide receiver consistently, it makes your job as the quarterback, you know, tougher than it needs to be. So I think it's going to be, you know, really important for Ja'Cory Brooks, Malik Benson, Jermaine Burton, Isaiah Bond, all those guys to step up and become that dude for Alabama.
Right. And we talked about how we feel like, you know, Ja'Cory Brooks, he's got the potential to make that next step. And I feel like he needs to be the one to do it. I mean, he's shown flashes. We saw what he did in that Auburn game with that incredible, you know, leap and grab and then scoring a touchdown a few plays later. But, you know, we talked about this on the Bama Stand the other night about the wide receiver group, and there is a lot of talent, like you said, Stacey. Feel like, you know, one guy you didn't mention we talked about exclusively on there was Kendrick Law, man. Just something about him just oozes with, you know, this kid's about to break out.
Yeah, he's got that it factor, it feels like. You know, Coach Saban bragged on him a good bit during the spring. And if Coach Saban's bragging on you, you're doing something right, whether it's, you know, strictly on the field or if it's, you know, kind of the whole, you know, if that's just encapsulating being a football player at Alabama. Nick Saban brags on you, you're doing something right. So Kendrick Law is definitely somebody to watch out for. You know, Coach Saban mentioned that he had become a leader in that on the offensive side of the ball as a true sophomore. So seeing what he can do in year two will be fun. You mentioned Ja'Cory Brooks. He's now in year three. You got to think he's improved each season at Alabama. So you got to think he's going to be improved again entering 2023. You know, Jermaine Burton, Jake, he's such a strange player.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drops are just They're killers, man. You can't have them. I mean, it's like a running back fumble of the football. You can't have it. You can't have it.
It's mind-boggling.
And you know, he didn't drop a single pass his 2 years at Georgia. He comes to Alabama, and he has several drops, critical drops, Jake, that's just not acceptable. And, you know, he dropped a couple a day as well. So I don't know if it's in his head or if he's in his head. You know what I mean? So
right.
I hope that he can move past that because he's a talented player. He's probably the best route runner on the team, if we're being honest. And you got to look back. Early in that season last year, for whatever reason, him and Bryce Young were not on the same page. He was running free several times early in the year, and Bryce just missed him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not like Bryce. So I'm excited about, you know, this receiver room because you have kind of a mix of different guys. You know, Corey Brooks, I think, is a guy who can go up and get it for you. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Burton's a really good route runner. Kendrick Law is just that. He's got that dog in him. He's going to make the necessary plays. You know, you got Kobe Prince and Isaiah Bond, who's, you know, can take the top off of defense. So Malik Benson is just that X factor, Jake. He's the weapon. He's the guy who, if he puts it all together like people think he can, like I believe he can, wow. He could be special.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Isaiah Bond, Shash Preston, there's several guys, Kobe Prentice, you know, like you said, they all had their own unique abilities. And Malik Benson, man, you're talking about a speed threat. We didn't really have somebody that can take the lid off the defense last year. And that kind of hampered our offense a little bit. This year, I don't think that's the case with Malik Benson. That kid, he gets open. It's lights out for a defense. So, you know, you're going to have to keep an extra eye on him if you're a defense. So that's going to allow either Kobe Prentice to get open in the middle, the Corey Brooks on the opposite side to get open, Kendrick Law somewhere as well to be open. And don't forget about the talented tight ends that we have as well. You know, we haven't really mentioned those a lot, but Dupree coming in, you know, you have a guy who's got good hands that can catch the ball as well. And, you know, Danny Lewis and Amari Knoblach are both oozing with talent as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds as well. But I don't know what happened. I think we lost Stacy. But anyway, yeah, we're, you know, the wide receivers, guys, there we go. I think Stacy's back now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. You never can trust internet, but no. Randy, that's not true because I think that actually what I saw was on August 2nd, the players will report, which is this coming Wednesday, day after tomorrow. No. Yeah. This coming Wednesday, day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And because fan day is coming up on Saturday, August 5th. So they're going to be practicing before next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I don't know if you mean like actual full pads practice, maybe that's true, but I know they're reporting on Wednesday, August 2nd.
Okay.
Because fan day is August 5th. And that's kind of what fan day is like a mini practice with, and then they allow fans to come on the field and get autographs and stuff like that. So.
Okay. So yeah, it should be Thursday for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine they would kind of get out there in shorts and helmet at the end of this week.
Yeah, just get some stuff going on, you know, get back to, you know, get back in swing of things.
Yep. God, I feel sorry for them because it's hotter than Hades.
Gosh, you ain't kidding. No, it's ridiculous right now in Alabama. Yep. I don't know how it is in the rest of the world, but it's hot in Alabama.
Hey, by the way, in the chat, let us know where you're at. Randy, where are you at, buddy? I'd love to know where you're at. I know the Bama Standards in Mississippi. I know where they're at. Wyatt, love to see where you're from. So just drop in the live chat where you're watching us from. Give us a roll tide, and maybe we know somebody where you're at. I doubt it, but
yeah, you never know. You know, these things tend to be funny. You know, when me and Stacy going back when we first started. You know, it may have been 6 months into it. We got a message from a guy in Ireland, I think, wasn't it, Stacy?
Yeah.
And said he listened to the show. I'm not sure if he still does. I hope he does. But, you know, you never know who's watching. And I mean, Alabama Nation, we saw it when Saban went to Italy. Everybody's saying Roll Tide. It's out there. The brand is far and wide for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely the Alabama brand, not the Tide Talk Live brand.
Right, exactly. Randy said quarterbacks have to know his receiver's tendencies.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes back to building chemistry and practice. And I think that's important to remember. For last year, you know, Bryce missed a lot of time in practice due to injuries. And I think that had a lot to do with the way the chemistry was with him and the receivers last year. So, you know, getting on the same page and, you know, like Randy says, learning each receiver's tendencies is going to be huge for whoever the quarterback is in 2023. Skip Campbell says, Roll Tide from North Carolina. What's up, nice. Skip? Thank you for watching from North Carolina. North Carolina should have an interesting year with Drake May at quarterback. Anytime you got an elite quarterback, you got a chance. So, be watching to see what North Carolina can do there in the ACC this season.
Hey, Carolina's going to have an interesting season with Bryce Young and Brandon Miller up there. So I'm a huge Charlotte Hornets fan. So I was excited on draft night when his name was announced at Charlotte.
I can attest to this. Jake has been a Charlotte fan for, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years now, Jake.
I mean, gosh, yeah, Gerald Wallace, when he become their – I think he was their first pick in the expansion draft. So, you know, he played at Alabama. So I was like, okay, I'm going to follow this team. They're young. They're up and coming. And Wallace was special.
Yeah, back in the old Charlotte Bobcats days.
Yes, the Bobcats days, yeah. But I haven't had much to be proud of, but I am getting excited about this team because Brandon Miller and LaMelo –
God, oh, that'll be fun. That's going to be fun. And Bryce is going to do some special things in Carolina too. So absolutely. I'm very envious of the city of Charlotte.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Roger from Mobile.
Yeah, Roger Robbins, Roll Tide from Mobile, Alabama. Awesome. Good to have you, Roger. Thank you so much for commenting.
Yeah.
You know, Skip, Roger, let us know what position has you excited the most heading in fall camp or into the season? What, Matt, has you nervous? I'm assuming the quarterback has everybody nervous right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We can go ahead and talk about that, Stacey.
Yeah, we're 30 minutes in. I cannot believe it already. God. Let's just dive into the quarterbacks. Before we even – Randy is from Pinson, Alabama. Welcome. Thank you, Randy. Awesome.
Thank you, Randy.
Awesome. Roll Tide. Look, let's get into the quarterbacks, Jake. And before we even really dive into much to it, I want to ask the chat to jump in the live chat right now, and not who you think the quarterback is right now, but who do you think the starter will be the first time Alabama takes a snap against Middle Tennessee State? Is it going to be Ty, Jalen, or Tyler? Please let us know right now in the live chat, because I would love to hear from you there. I'm actually going to go ahead and type that out in the chat, Jake, so they can see it and react to it.
Yeah, I'm on Jalen Miller. I've been on his bandwagon for a while, but in all honesty, and I think I've told Stacy, and I've even said this on record before, but whoever the quarterback is, whether it be Ty, whether it be Tyler, whether it be Jalen, I think early on with the stable running backs we've got, whoever it's going to be, they're going to have plenty of time to get adjusted to the game and get their feet wet. You know, but on the flip side of that is week two, Texas comes to town. We've got to have that figured out. We don't need to have three quarterbacks playing in that Texas game. We need to set on one and ride with that one, whoever it is. And, you know, I'm in a group chat on X now. It's like, it's not Twitter anymore, it's X. But, you know, we've had some discussion in it. But, you know, the thing about it is, as Alabama fans, whoever it is, whether it's Ty, whether it's Jalen, whether it's Tyler Buckner, we've got to get behind that guy 100% once he's announced as a starting quarterback, because there shouldn't be no more bickering. Whoever wins out in fall camp and in that first game, just like Jalen Hurts did several years ago, you know, I think Cornwell started the game, I believe. It might have been Blake Barnett.
It was Blake Barnett.
Blake Barnett. But overall, Jalen, I mean, I think he was third or fourth on the roster at that point. He come in and took it, and then we rode with him the rest of the season. So we've got to be supportive of whoever the quarterback is at this point.
Yeah, Jeremy says he's watching from Tuscaloosa, and yes, sir, it's hot. Roll Tide.
Yeah,
Roll Tide, Jeremy. Thank you for watching. He's in God's country watching us right now. So thank you so much for watching, Jeremy. Like it says there on the screen, please let us know who you think is going to start game one for Alabama. And you know, if it's Ty, Jalen, or Tyler Buckner. And when you tell us who it is, give us your opinion on why you think it's that guy. Would love to get the different conversations going on that. Jake's rolling with Milroe, that the guy who's been there the longest, who the guy who has the most experience at Alabama. Mm-hmm. But Roger, I like this point. He says, in my opinion, the quarterback will not be an issue no matter whom it is. I'm more interested in seeing if the defense can get back to being dominant, mm-hmm. as well as the offensive line. I think I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, how the quarterback always gets too much credit when the team is successful, and then they take too much of the blame when they're not. There's 10 other guys on the field when the quarterback's on the field, and then 11 other players on the field when the defense is on the field. So there's 21 other guys that start for that team that are making impact down in and down out. So it's important for us, for Alabama, to be better around the quarterback than what we've been over the last year, especially last year, Jake. We just were not good enough around Bryce Young to play at a championship level on a consistent basis. So if they can continue to develop at other positions, then whoever the quarterback is, it doesn't become a mute point, mm-hmm. but it doesn't become the end all be all.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And just like Skip said, and Saban, I trust, I'm in the same boat, Skip. You know, Saban's going to play his best players, and he's going to put them out every single week. And going back to Roderick's comment earlier, Stacey, I also feel like in that same breath, if the defense becomes as dominant as we feel like it's going to be, you know, if they get back to that standard, you know, the new quarterback can take a few weeks to get acclimated to the offense and all that, because you have the running backs who you can swap out every other possession, keep them fresh, and if the offensive line is dominant, they're just going to run it down people's throats. And then if the defense can be dominant and shut down the opposing offenses, and you know, first couple 3-4 weeks, if we, you know, we're still kind of indifferent, you know, we may not see a lot of scoring going on, but as long as the defense does its job and it keeps the other offense from scoring less, we're going to be okay.
The Bama Standard says Jalen Miller will start against MTSU, but will continue to start because of his improvements made under Tommy Rees and summer work. It will be similar to Blake Sims in 2014. Hey, that certainly rooting for that to happen. You know, look, I've been on record several times of saying that I think Ty Simpson's eventually going to be the quarterback, mm-hmm. whether he starts game one or not. I think before it's over with, Ty Simpson's the quarterback for Alabama here in 2023, but I don't care who it is. As long as it's the guy who gives Alabama the best chance to win, I think that's who Coach Saban's going to pick. So whoever it is, that's who I'm going to be rooting for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see how this plays out in fall camp, because that's where all the microscope is going to be at, is on that quarterback position. But I feel like these guys are going to, you know, that's the competition. We talked about that before too, Stacey. It's going to drive each of those guys to be better. So, you know, the competition is definitely going to help things out.
Yeah, Jordan chimes in and says, do you think we'll have receiver emerge as that true number one? If so, who? Jake, I'll let you take that in first.
I think the clear-cut favorite right now would be Ja'Cory Brooks. Like you said, say so year three stepping in. Overall, the younger guys who I feel like could emerge to be that guy, Kobe Prentice is just screaming, you know, to me to be a talented guy. I know he's a slot player, but I mean, I know several slot people who have been, you know, the number one option for quarterbacks. So, you know, I feel like he can take that next step and be that as well. But, you know, Kendrick Law, Shaz Preston, Isaiah Bond, I mean, there's so many guys that can take that next step and be the number one receiver. But right now, I would say it'd be Ja'Cory Brooks.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Malik Benson. I think he is the most complete receiver for Alabama, and I think he can take the top off the defense. Yep. I think he can go across the middle, and I just think he's going to be that difference maker for Alabama, and I think he'll prove to be the number one guy. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not right away, but kind of as the season progresses, he progresses as a player at Alabama and becomes that number one receiver for whoever the quarterback is.
Yeah, that's a good pick too, Stacey.
Yeah, and Randy says live scrimmages will go a long way in finding out who the quarterback mm-hmm. will be. No doubt about it. I'm with you on this, the Bama Standard. I'm so ready for this to be over with because I'm so sick of talking about it because there's so much that goes into this quarterback competition, and it just seems like that's all that anybody wants to talk about. And there's mm-hmm. so many other great positions going on right now that need to be talked about.
Yes. And Bama Stoner also said, look out for Jalen Hale. And, you know, you're right on that. But one other guy that's also kind of flying on the radar, and we've talked about him, is Emmanuel Henderson. I just feel like he's about to make a big impact on this team this year as well.
Yep, sorry, I had myself muted again.
Yeah, you're good.
I mute myself because I have a wild son who's always loud. So,
surely not.
But great chat so far. Love everybody's input. C Bama says, "Roll Tide, Roll Tide."
Roll C-Bama, Tide.
Appreciate your support. We always see you commenting on our videos, so thank you so much.
Thank
for that.
You. Appreciate that.
Been a lot of fun talking about this. We hadn't really touched a lot on the defense other than the secondary, Jake. Mm-hmm. Let's quickly, before we head out, let's talk about some defense real quick. Let's talk mm-hmm. about the inside linebackers, Jake. I think we're both fairly confident that Deontay Lawson is going to be one of the starters at inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick a guy right now who's going to start beside him game one, who do you think that would be?
Man, you know, there's several good options. You know, I feel like Trez Marshall coming over from Georgia, he brings experience at least of playing in the SEC, and he knows the game speed. I imagine he would probably see a lot of time on the field. I would probably pencil him in, but Justin Jefferson as well has come in and made an immediate impact. So I don't see, as the season rolls around and gets going, how you're going to keep him off the field. So those are my two guys I'm looking at, and I'm sure I'm missing several because there's a bunch of talented guys out there that inside linebacker position.
Yeah, that group is deep and talented. They just don't have a lot of experience at Alabama. I mean, you look at Jihad Campbell, a redshirt mm-hmm. freshman. Justin Jefferson, his first year from the junior college. Trezman Marshall, his first year. He does have experience in the SEC, which probably is going to help him, especially early on mm-hmm. in the season. I really like Marshall. Like the Bama Standard says, if he's healthy, you got to remember mm-hmm. this guy started for Georgia as a freshman.
Right.
So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
He started for an elite Georgia defense as a freshman. Injuries has kind of, you know, put his career in flux at Georgia, which is one reason why he transferred to Alabama, maybe to get a fresh start. And, you know, there's an opportunity for him to play now this year at Alabama. But it could be a system where they play multiple guys, Jake, because Jihad Campbell's a guy who can get after the quarterback really, really well from the inside linebacker position. So can Justin Jefferson. He's just a – He's a baller, man. He's so quick. He shoots the gap so fast. He has great instincts, and I don't know what they're going to do, Jake. I don't know how they're going to be able to find a way to get all these guys involved. Then you got to think about guys like Sean Murphy, mm-hmm. Kendrick Blackshire. So in Jackson, there's plenty of talent there, Jake. I don't know how they're going to decide to use all those players at inside linebacker.
Exactly. And like we mentioned, you know, everybody has their own unique skill set. So it probably depending on the situation, the game, how those guys get brought in. So, but Trez Marshall looks like you know, Bama Standard said, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a problem. But, you know, Campbell is, I feel like he's going to have a great future at Alabama. Sean Murphy, he don't get looked at a lot because he really hadn't made that next step into the starting rotation, but he's very talented as well. Ian Jackson. So, and, you know, Jefferson, you know, I was impressed with him at A-Day as well, because I mean, he was shooting gaps, like you said, Stacey, and I mean, it's just like 1 second you're on the offensive line and you see him and he's not moving yet. You just take your eyes for a second away, look over here, and then he's already past you. I'm like, my gosh, the speed on that kid is just incredible.
Yeah, when he finds the ball, his closing speed is next yeah. level. I mean, it's elite, and that's a rare find. So if he can learn the system, and be you know, where he needs to be all the time, he's going to be tough to keep off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ronnie says I'm freaking late. Hey,
that's all right, Ronnie. We'll be here a little bit longer.
Yep. Get your questions in, Ronnie. We're here to talk about your questions as well. Bama Standard. We were just talking about Ian Jackson. You guys surprised that his career has been so quiet this far? I'm actually kind of am, but there's, like we said, there's so many guys that seems like ahead of him right now. It's so hard for him to find the field, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a yes and no answer for me. Like, yeah, because, you know, I really liked him coming out of high school, but no, I'm not surprised because there's so many dudes on the field. I mean, like, because it's one of those situations, who are you taking out? I mean, I don't want to swap Deontay Lawson for Ian Jackson.
Right, yeah.
And it's nothing against Ian Jackson. I feel more comfortable with Deontay Lawson right now. So, I don't know. That's a tough question because I root for all these guys. You know, they're at Alabama, so I root for them all. I'm a little surprised he's been quiet. As quiet as he has been, but it's not shocking with all the talent and depth that's at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's Alabama's deep everywhere, it seems like. And, I mean, honestly, the only question mark I feel like on this team is quarterback. But once we get that settled, I think this team is set up to have a great season. And surprise a lot of people because, I mean, they're talented. They're a lot of experience around the field and, you know, the defense returning to that you know, just dominant defense. This team is set for a huge run, I feel like.
Yeah, I think last season, and Randy makes a good comment, Dallas will be huge like the city. Dallas Turner should have a big year here in 2023. I think it's a contract season for him. You know, had a little bit of a down year as a sophomore, so it's time to kind of make up some ground. But I want to say something before we, you know, start to kind of wrap it up, Jake. I think when you look at this roster and this team here in 2023, I think 1 through 10, Alabama is not as talented as they were in 2022. But I think 1 through 85, they're more talented than what they were in 2022. I think this is, you know, maybe not a top-heavy roster, but as far as depth, dude, there's, I mean, Alabama is three deep pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
Look, I can say it this way, Jake, you know, other fan bases, you know, national media kind of laugh at the Alabama quarterback situation. There's not many teams who would have a guy like a Tyler Buckner or Jalen Milroe or a Ty Simpson sitting on the bench. There's very few teams, much less one of those guys being your third string.
Right.
So I think that the quarterback position is a prime example and really does – it really is a great example of what the entire team sort of looks like this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's not just a ton of superstar potential there, but, man, are they deep.
They are.
They are deep.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that there's not players that won't become superstars.
Mm-hmm.
But proven superstars are not quite there yet. But man, they're deep, man. I'm telling you, this roster is deep. 1 through 85.
Mm-hmm.
They are deep.
They are. And one thing I want to comment about Dallas Turner, one thing I'm excited to see this year than previous seasons is 3rd and 15 for teams. We're not going to see Dallas Turner dropping the coverage. He is going to be rushing the quarterback. I guarantee it.
If I see Dallas Turner dropping the coverage one time,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. We may have to have an emergency podcast.
I know. You ain't kidding. Oh man. Anytime I saw Will Anderson and Dallas Turner dropping the coverage, I'm like, what are we doing? You know
that's one of those situations where The coach is doing too much coaching.
Yeah. Yep.
Too much coaching there.
You know your talents, and those two boys are – their talent is to get out to the quarterback, and, you know, you've got to send them every play.
Dallas Turner and Will Anderson are prime examples of – they're the type of player – it's the you see the ball over there? Go get him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, that's, and they do.
That's the only coaching I would give those guys.
Right.
The ball's right there. Go get it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Marvin Constant will lose his mind. Yeah,
me too. see, Ronnie said, come, come October, November, when all these teams start having injuries, our depth carries to the championship.
That's a great point.
Yeah, Georgia, Alabama both have a lot of depth. So I would not be surprised to see them two in the championship game again, SEC and, of course, national championship.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. Before we – I say we go about another 10 or 12 minutes, Jake. I want to ask you this. I want to ask the chat this. Obviously, the biggest question mark heading into the season is the quarterbacks.
Right.
So, outside of the quarterbacks, what is the biggest question mark or the position or the whatever it is that maybe concerns you the most?
I mean, honestly, it would be the wide receivers. We just talked about them, Stacey. There's a lot of talent there. But like you mentioned, the drops that have hampered Alabama in the last couple of seasons. You know, that's one thing you hardly ever saw early on in Nick Saban's days was drop passes. And it just come a constant last couple of years. And, I mean, guys wide open, there's nobody near, and they're just dropping balls. And, you know, that's very concerning to see. Like we said, the talent is there, but it just got to get out of their own head, like you said, and just start making plays on the field. So, you know, that would be the other only question mark, because I really don't see one at the defense that's just too talented. Maybe at the second corner position, because we know, like you said, you know, Kool-Aid's got that one side locked down, and he's going to have it locked down all season. But we've got to have that second corner step up and lock his side down as well. So, but I feel like the guys we have there, like you mentioned, Amos and Arnold, they're capable of being that second lockdown option at corner. So that would be my other only, you know, question mark. The rest of the team, they're loaded. And I don't see really any question marks anywhere.
I was just about to say this everyday American has stole my thunder. The wide receivers and left tackle is my biggest worry. We will have that true number one guy. Will we have that true number one guy receiver? Mm-hmm. Also, who will lock up the left tackle spot? If you watch A-Day, I would say Proctor. I don't think he got bit a single time. Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that comment. Yeah. I will put this just as a reminder. Go back to A-Day. You got to remember that Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell did not participate.
Mm-hmm.
So the first team left tackle, Elijah Pritchett, was actually playing against Quindarius Robinson, which is outside linebacker number three.
Mm-hmm.
And that means outside linebacker number four, Keanu Cote, was playing opposite of Quindarius Robinson with the first team defense. Mm-hmm. So Proctor was playing against guys who were like third or fourth, fifth, sixth on the depth chart.
Right.
So I think that is important to remember. You're not comparing apples to apples. So I think that's important to note. But I will say this: long term, I do think Caden Proctor is the better player.
Yeah.
But that's not a slight at Elijah Pritchett. I think Elijah Pritchett's going to be a fine player. There's nothing wrong with him, and he may prove to be the guy. Mm-hmm. But I do think Proctor played better. But I also think it's important to remember who he was blocking, you know, relative to who Elijah Pritchett was blocking.
Yeah. And I saw a comment on our show today, Stacey, that we premiered. Somebody had said that he could see Proctor sliding into the left tackle and Pritchett moving to left guard. I could see that happening.
Yeah. there's a multitude of ways that Coach Saban and Coach Wolford could go when it comes to the offensive line. I mean, you look at – you know, there's always the possibility that Booker goes back to the left side. Mm-hmm. There's always the possibility that Latham can go to the left side. So,
yep.
I'm with you as long as Dalcourt isn't in. I hate to beat up on the guy, man. He's stuck it out. He's gave it his all. He just ain't it, man. He just ain't it.
Yeah. You know, I admire his loyalty pretty much and his his drive, because he talked about all offseason about getting more physical. But, you know, we talked about it, Stacey, the two weaknesses on that offense is the left guard and the left tackle. And unfortunately, right now, he's probably penciled in as a left guard, so he's got to make an improvement. And if he don't, guys like Terrence Ferguson, Rock Montgomery, maybe Caden Proctor takes his spot, and Lee Pritchett out left tackle, who knows. But there's, like you said, a multitude of ways that we can go. And like we mentioned, the offensive line is deep. It's not a lot. It's a lot of green there, though. There's a lot of talented guys, but it's green. But the more playing time these guys get, they're going to get to their potential and be great. Oh, you're muted again. There we go.
I'm going back up here in the chat real quick. I want to put some, I didn't mean to put that one up. here it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that really sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get on here and you know, and I love it. I love everybody giving their opinion and everybody, you know, talking about who they think can play, who's going to step up for Alabama. But at the end of the day, what we all need to do is just simply trust in Saban.
Right.
Because he has got it right far more often than he hadn't. So I think he likes the guys that he has.
Right.
And it's just going to be about finding that right group to kind of mesh together to be a good cohesive unit there along the offensive line. Because the three guys that you know, Seth, Tyler, and JC, I love those guys. I love those guys. I think they're all, you know, they're all have the capability of being first team all SEC. I really believe that. And so what they do on that left side is going to be critical. And, you know, I don't care who the quarterback is.
Oh, I think we lost Stacy again. But yeah, he, like he said, it's going to be critical who takes over that left tackle and left guard position this year to protect the blind side of the of whoever the quarterback's going to be. So the offensive line, the left side especially, it's going to be very critical to you know, to get those set. So, but yeah, we lost Stacy, but there he is.
All right, I got to.
Yeah, gotta love internet, guys. You know,
yeah, my internet has been doing this for 2 days. It randomly jumps in and out, so sorry about that. But I guess that's probably a good time for us to kind of end the show, so I don't have any more technical difficulties.
Oh, awesome, Everyday American. Thank you for joining tonight. We're glad everybody got on and had their say. If you're just now getting on, me and Stacy talked about, we don't do a lot of lives. We're going to try to do one maybe the Saturday mornings before games, have like a live, get in there, get everybody pumped up, everybody excited, do a little preview of the game and how we see how things are going to play out. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Then maybe some of the games we do just a live chat during the game. So, you know, stay tuned. We've got a lot of ideas to keep this rolling. And we're excited, you know. Gosh, we're coming on. I think year five now, Stacy. I think it's five in August, I believe, maybe six. But you know, I never would imagine that we would be doing this. You know, I just thought just two old country boys like us would just be talking. We may have 10 fans, but you guys have really, you know, seem like you enjoy what we say and what we had to say, and we thank you all for the support. We truly do. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This has been what a fun journey this has been for Jake and myself. And we can't thank you guys enough. Really, it's humbling, to be honest with you. You know, we started this in my oldest daughter's bedroom one night, recording on my cell phone.
Yes.
And I think that was in August of 2018, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so here we are, you know, 5 years in. We started the YouTube channel around maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it has just, it's grown. And it's really nothing that we've done that's special or unique. It's just Alabama fans are phenomenal, and you guys have been great. And We can't thank you enough. So we try to continue to build on what we've done and create new ways of entertaining you guys. So if you have any thoughts on or opinions on how we can better do that, please let us know. We're all about, you know, constructive criticism and, you know, anybody's, you know, thoughts and opinions on what we can do to improve the show, because we want to make sure to deliver the best show for you guys possible. And so we certainly appreciate everybody's support. It's been a lot of fun. But we're going to wrap this live show up.
Put a bow on it.
A lot of fun. What a lot of fun, Jake. The chat was great. Love everybody's thoughts and opinion. Real quick, Everyday American, he's gave us his offensive line: Seth, Booker, Proctor, Latham, and Pritchett. Yeah, I think that there's certainly
that's game one for sure. I believe.
I think that's the five it needs to be too. How they figure out what to do with Proctor and Pritchett, let them figure it out.
Right.
I want those five guys.
Yeah, I agree. It's I think it's going to play out. If it ain't game one, then it's probably going to be game two, three, or four where you see that lineup come into play. And I feel like that may be your best option right there, because we talked about Stacey. Caden Proctor is a beast. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field as well. So many young, talented freshmen and guys on this team in general that's going to be hard to keep off the field. So these upperclassmen going to have to keep the head on a swivel and play hard, because these underclassmen are like, I want your job.
Yeah. T-shirts are certainly possible. I have to get back with you on the action figure versions.
Right, yeah. You said, you know, it's nothing that we have done. We have had crappy internet the entire time. Both of us have. I still can't talk, so that is never changing, because I took speech class in college and flunked. So, you know, that's never going to change. So it just is what it is. But for some reason, you guys still follow us, and we thank you.
Well, I don't think anything beats authentic,
right,
talk. You know, okay. I think that's something we have, Jake, and I think that's something our viewers appreciate. So, and we certainly appreciate them, Jake. What a fun show! That was great.
Fun show.
We'll be back. I don't know when. We'll figure it out. Make sure you follow us on, you know, all social medias: Twitter or X, whatever it is now, Facebook, Instagram,
yeah,
TikTok. Quit streaming on our computer.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I usually have phenomenal internet, but the last two or three days has been complete crap. But anyway, all right.
Yeah, y'all have the fans. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you so much, Randy. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Roll Tide, everybody. I can't wait to get back on here. Maybe like Jake said, the Saturday mornings can be a good way for us all to get together before the game. So just keep your eye out. We'll give you more insight into our plans for the show for the season. So just stay tuned to that. So thank you so much for watching. Been a lot of fun. Can't wait to do this again. Jake, hope you have a good rest of the night. Chat, I hope you have a good rest of the night. Oh, by the way, chat, we need you to come up with a name for our chat when we do a live show.
Mm-hmm.
We need a name. Y'all come up with some great names, and we'll try to pick the best one, and we can kind of go with that. But thank you so much for watching. We'll be back soon. But until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Luc Foote.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.